if that's pushed back from now on.
Let me apologize to two of you who were here from half past eight. I think we will find that from time to time there are teething problems, and I think that how we tackle these teething problems will also develop the cohesion in the committee. Do we tackle them in a negative way or a positive way? So I appreciate the clear understanding from members that they would simply do something constructive, and that is read the report. Thank you. To those members who received what really could have been interpreted as a miscommunication, let's put it that way, we have asked the committee secretary, whenever he refers to the meeting is, to say the UCI, because I expect many of us are members of more than one committee or even attending other committees, and then there won't be that sort of confusion in the future. But it was thanks to the whip of the committee that we even, Corrigan Tooley, were alerted to the problem. So thank you very much for communicating with us that other members too would have got the same message. Let us try to get right into the meeting, and that is to begin to consider what would be a first draft. In other words, honourable members, we were all present, or most of us, when there was a presentation, an input by the Department of Trade and Industry, and also COOLA and IDC, and then of course the Minister himself. And what this is not anywhere near the final report, and I think that should be clear. It is an attempt by the committee staff, support staff, the content advisor, the committee secretary, and at this stage, it's not clear if I'm just looking here, excluding. The report you have in front of you is excluding the research report. Is that right? If you look at the footer, it says excluding the research report. Now, there is a research report. Mr. Matlambu, did you send out the sonar to everyone that you had done, that very good one? Yes. The sonar one, the one you did. No, I would like that one to be distributed, please, this morning. I'm not sure if the committee secretary can arrange it. Because the sonar is something that we need to have in front of us. And it is, in fact, a very sound sonar research report you've done. So is it possible for the researcher to go and get some copies of that? 7, 8, about 10 of them as a start. I've got mine. All right, 12. Having said that, I wonder if I can just spell out the process we may wish to adopt here. And that is to go through what has been captured by the support. And as we go through it, we would like members to add or delete. 1, 2. We would also like the committee to begin to put their own comments in. Now, so when I say add or delete, I mean the issue would simply be in this area. I know that we also tackled this issue, which is not noted and is important, so we would then add that. When it comes to a deletion, it would really have to be something you genuinely believe has either taken over the political substance of your own authority, one, or a totally incorrect reflection of what went on. We're not looking for spelling errors, and we're not looking for grammar. So it's only those two, and then the third one is, as I said, what would you like to say about this report? So we're going to go page by page, and we're going to take the first, have all members have a chance to read it. That's the first thing. I know you two have, I know, yes, but not, I think four of us haven't, am I correct? Can we please allow another 10 minutes? You may be, find something better to do.
I can say, Madam Chair, this report was distributed to us yesterday. So that's the reason why I read through it last night already. So the committee secretary has distributed that, and I presume that if it's been distributed to everybody, everybody will really have the chance to read through that.
Yeah, unfortunately, Honourable Maria, you know what the problem is? People like myself, even as a chair, don't have electronic equipment at the moment because we don't have plugs. And others may be in a similar situation. We may not even have faxes, and that the only form of receiving a document is on the SMS and in their mailbox. And that is right now the unfortunate situation parliamentarians of a number of parties find themselves, especially one or two of the bigger parties, which probably includes yourself.
Thanks. I just wanted to support you that particularly as I was on the way traveling from the province back to here, and I did not have the PC, so I'm seeing it for the first time, in fact, now when I'm arriving in the country. So we are not on the same wavelength.
Thank you.
Now, members, you know what I'd like to do? Anyone who wants that last cup of coffee or tea or whatever, if they can go and get that last cup of tea or coffee. And having started somewhat late, as we've already suggested, someone has just brought me an apology here. And this is from Honorable Masango, who's in hospital. And that's rather distressing when a member of the committee is in hospital. I'm sure we all agree. We're not even sure why he is in hospital. So I'm not sure who actually put this on my desk. But surely it would be in order for us just to send a little note wishing him a speedy recovery. Would that be in order? I just see that apology coming now and keeping you abreast of it. And the second thing is, you may have seen a new member here, and that is the Honourable, and I see that from the committee list here, which we don't often use, but it's not here, no, not the Sangha, I was going to say the Honourable Bob Mabato, but I know that that's not really your official name. That's the problem with some of these sort of struggle names and so on. We use them so often we're not sure what people's proper names are. But I'm sure now it won't defy my tongue, let's see. Now, I was looking into Bob and Barthi. Well, it hasn't spelled out what the name is, but I know it's an X here, and the next time I will be fully informed as to its spelling, so I apologize.
Shitangoma.
Say that once more.
Shitangoma.
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 Shitangoma. I'm sure I'll get better at this all the time. All right. Last time we did introduce ourselves, and you may wish to do that yourself, Honourable Mabato, just in 30 seconds.
Because I don't have the benefit of how the introductions were done, but indeed the name is Thabo Mabato, residentially in Gauteng, and I have a very special interest, cooperative, and thanks to be part of this committee.
A number of members share that interest. Thank you. Of course, the Honourable Bob does come back from having been in Gauteng legislature as well, in various leadership capacities, and I'm sure he will bring a wealth of his experience. We also have me with us this morning, and Miss Lavinia from the IP, is that correct? It's very good to see someone half my age here, bring a bit of fresh thinking. Perhaps you'd like to do a quick introduction for us?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Ted Lilenia, representing the IFP, originally from Matatiele, but now I reside in KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you.
Forgive me, is Matatiele a problem?
I didn't want to play Eastern Cape because I'm not sure whether it belongs to the Eastern Cape or KwaZulu-Natal.
That was just an aside, and I'm glad to see you've got a sense of humour. We need it in the serious business here. Okay. That's all the members. The rest of you are very welcome. And I would imagine that we have got abreast of part of the document. Let's just say that. Once again, I want to reiterate that this is a first draft. This is an open committee, and clearly we wouldn't want the wrong impression to leave here when you see a first draft of a meeting captured by support staff. We're now going to, as members of the committee, analyze, comment, and deliberate. So members, I'll take this page by page. For those who've just walked in, can we leave all of these semantics out, the grammar and the spelling, and just comment on the substance? Add something that was left out, delete something that does not reflect, and give your opinion politically. So I'll take three or four hands at the max, two to three hopefully on the first page.
Thank you, Chair. The only thing that I want to raise is the fact that the second last paragraph where we have mentioned that there are only the two entities because of time constraints, and my request is only that if there's other, call it sections or divisions or companies under IDC, whether one can report or put that in the report as well. For instance, the non-national lottery distribution trust fund, where some information came to our attention via a parliamentary question, where it was quite shocking how much money they have got and how little they have actually distributed, and that certainly that requires that we ask them to come and explain to us what they are doing and how they are doing it. So if that is with your assistance, I would appreciate that if that can be included as well.
Thank you, Honourable Maria. Let me just say one thing. I think that a number of these issues are going to come up. There may even be a more emphatic point made on cooperatives. We may wish to decide where we want to place all of them. Do we want to mention one by one, or do we want, in some paragraph, to capture all of the entities we regard as a priority to engage with? So the answer is not no, it's yes, but where and how. Honourable Mabasa.
I think you have covered me to a certain degree with the suggestion that you have made, but even when we go to where do we place an issue on cooperatives, I suggest that the bullet on page one, I note bullet two, which talks of broadening participation. But that has always been what we seek to do all the time. So I tend to think that if we also say another bullet to narrow the gap, as people get empowered, but the empowering of such should be such that the gap is narrowed between those that don't have and those that have, for lack of better words. Thanks.
We want to capture that narrowing the gap, and then I understand, again I'm just raising this, I have asked for SONA to be distributed, has that been done? But also, our researcher, Mr. Luazi Mahlangu, I think has probably produced one of the better analysis of SONA. Thank you very much. They say better late than never, huh? For the receipt. Thank you. But I noticed on page four of SOLA, and I'm coming straight to yourself, because there's just the third bullet on page four, which refers to the co-ops in some way. And the question again is going to be, where do we put all of this? Do we use it as just narrowing the gap in that first bullet, or do we use the word co-ops straight away? You see that industrial, all of that there, broadening that through co-ops, through this, through that, through the next thing. This may be one area to put that in there. increasing trade investment, etc., yes. If we do that, it will also refer later on to the bullets which we will entertain with the lotteries, among others. Yes, Honourable Ntuli?
No, sir. Mine was on the first page. I don't think it's not a saying. I think it's to call the wrong name. It's industrial, not independent. The ITC.
Yeah,
this is page one, paragraph.
Quite right.
Two from the left.
Yes. Yeah, that's the sort of semantic error which is substantive. Thank you. It is not independent. It may be thinking that. Members, can at this stage can we move, or is there any one else who wishes to comment on the substance here?
I think you're not to the main point.
We can come back on the documents as a whole later, but let's just do the page by page for the moment. As we are doing, page 2. Are there any hands here? Page 2. No? Yes, Honourable Mabasa.
The reason will correct me here, just in case this falls through the text. When other departments produce things, is it not that we take a certain role relative to assisting in the distribution of stock? I'm just thinking aloud about when the Department of Agriculture produces, how do we link to such products, just as an example, because we have a specific role which is overarching.
I do remember the point being made here in the material that they gave us about certain agro-processing, and I'll also look for our long-term member of this committee, Honourable Akilana, who would know better than I would about that. Am I correct to say it's agro-processing in some regard?
Yes, Chair, agro-processing, which unfortunately is still rather confined to IDC, in my recollection. They have not been exposed to the involvement of DTI through other agencies. Maybe to some extent cooler, but one would not be ashamed. But the closest I know is IDC, which is engaged in agro processing. Probably there could be one of the agencies, maybe cooler as well, and some of who do work with MAFISA. That probably would be another angle. But generally, it's rather thin.
I wonder if we couldn't just ask the researcher, having heard what the committee has to say here. We're really just exploring and searching for some references here. I do know that the minister mentioned in passing in this area about export of foodstuffs and agricultural produce and WTO and the tariffs, etc. And there is that linkage, but are there any other linkages, especially with respect to what the Honourable Bob Mabaso has said? Is it possible for you to just make a note of that, unless you can respond at this moment?
The issue on the GMO, it's good a deal under agriculture, but it also the effect on trade and industry.
Well, thank you, Honourable Mabaso, on that. We'll just keep some tabs on there, Mr. Mahlangu. Okay. So we were on page 2, and then it didn't look as if there was too much to be said by the committee, so we're moving to page 3. Right, can we, yes, Honourable Jacolana, you're very welcome. We got your apology, Honourable Tura, here. Thank you.
Chair, the second last paragraph under section 3, the last sentence is incomplete. I hope it's not too many, because one would know what to pronounced it, because it just said the CTI strategy planning is second last paragraph from the bottom, or the first paragraph under section 3, department of trade and industry strategic plan and budget.
Chairperson, if I can interrupt, my assumption for that was that it's a provision that if Matthew Salvat might fall, whatever the opinion of the committee will be eventually in the final draft, possibly.
And that's exactly what it is. I thought that this area was a very important one, and possibly we may wish to comment on it. So this is an opportunity for us at this point to comment, or to leave it till later, or to say no, we have no comment to make here. I think all of us are there on point 3, on page 3. And the last sentence in that first paragraph under that point, it says, in the opinion of the committee, the DTI's prepared strategic plan is. We were given an outline of that strategic plan. Do we wish to leave it at this point and come back to that? Right. Is there another... Yeah, Honourable Van der Ven,
in the light of the realignment of the departments, I believe that the strategic plan was subject to revision, and obviously, I think we would be interested to see how the strategic plan would look after the alignment process has been completed. And I was just wondering whether we shouldn't just comment on that or in that vein and say that, you know, we understand that the strategic plan is therefore subject to revision.
I think that's quite useful and constructive, that point, but in view, should there, you know, if you're going to realign the budget, as it were, quite clearly the strategic plan maybe will need to be reviewed in that regard as well. So I think that there is a point that one would be talking about the revised strategic plan in line with the, you know, realignment. Is that right? The other point is, if you look at the beginning here on your second paragraph, it starts off with regard to trade policy. Now, I got the impression, or as I recollect from my notes, that the minister had emphasized the need to grow, to expand the South-South trading policy that we have and strengthen it. But at the same time, when he was asked the question on North-South relations, he was clear that that's not going to be thrown out of the window, but simply that there was a need to also strengthen South-South. So when I look at how we put this, and bearing in mind, I just comment on this myself to the content, so that you may have been just literally copying me. It's got a point here that says South Africa must maximize trade agreements with the European Union and the United States by consolidating trade and investment agreements. Now, if we read that sentence, it could say different things to us. It may say, this is something that we really ought to pursue, and it's what's going to make or break our trade. On the other hand, we may actually be talking about the need to, by consolidating these and investment agreements and maximizing them, to ensure that we maximize them to South Africa's benefit. Now the question is, what do we mean? Do we want to maximize them for South Africa's benefit, or do we simply want to consolidate them as they've always been? Bearing in mind that more recently, as we read further on, we have the EPAs that have come up. So I do want committee members to think about that statement and to be sure this is captured. Everything there. So you needn't comment at this point, but I'm going to flag it. Right, then we have the new trade and so on. But the other point that the minister raised, which someone in the committee thought was quite a good idea, he indicated that parliaments around the world take a far more active role here, and actually make decisions that then also are able to guide the minister in his dealings. Now, the minister in this engagement did, I think, seem to be pointing to Parliament taking a bigger role here. So, again, it may be useful for us to consider something which I myself noted, is that, in the committee's opinion, Parliament should exercise its oversight role in this regard more substantively. But as I said, that's an individual view. Thank you, Honourable Tuop.
Yeah, Chair, for some time, the Minister, when he was deputy, did try and say to us exactly what you said, that in the United States, the negotiators will come to meetings and say, in my opinion, we can do this, but Congress will never agree. So, for example, with protectionist measures, say auto workers and so on, the United States Congress takes a very strong line, and the negotiator can stand on his head and will not be able to push through a certain issue, even if he thinks it's fair. If Congress says, no, we protect auto workers, for example, protect American markets, all sorts of markets, cotton, sugar, etc. So clearly the signal has been sent to us, and we really don't need that signal because we ought to be able to stand on our own feet. Signal has been sent to us that it would help our negotiators if Parliament took a tougher line. And I think it is time that we did much more than react to the minister's statement, but also express opinions of our own and even go further. There is nothing to stop Parliament, this committee, meeting anyone, anywhere, to discuss any issue. We're entitled to do that, and to express our opinions and to hold them strongly. So I think that in the national interest, which is what matters, we should do that and take that stance.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, just to reinforce this input, yes, in the last term, we gradually did raise our voices in our uneasiness of just ratifying trade agreements that can end. And there was commitment from TTI to respect our oversight rules. What is left of us now is to concretize that and ensure that there is a structured way of relating to trade agreements that's fair. Of course, international trade is a rather broad and beyond that. My formal proposal regarding trade negotiations on it in this regard at this moment is that this committee must assign itself to look at a policy guideline as well as a procedure on how to engage in trade negotiations, something that could indicate how we relate to an initiation of trade negotiations from their conceptual stage throughout the negotiation process themselves, up until the conclusion first by TTI and thereafter the ratification, which is done by Parliament. I'm sure that would be helpful, and it would give us, you know, the appropriate framework within which we can have, which I suppose that the NCT would have to be endorsed by the National Assembly as a whole. Thank you.
Would we all be on agreement on that in that vein? Yes, Honourable Moran?
Yes, Madam Chair, I think that is quite right. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think if one reads that first full part, it also emphasises that we must approach this from a South African point of view, from our perspective, and say how can we maximise, you know, that and influence those trade agreements. And I think that is what I interpret in the word consolidate. So we must consolidate it from, you know, so that there's not different principles that are applied. So, you know, in this agreement we are prepared to waive certain issues and the others not, depending on who we negotiate with. And I think that is very important, that there must be a couple of core principles that must be present in all those agreements.
Thank you. I saw two hands. But now I only see one, Honourable Zuma.
Okay. Yeah, Comrade, I fully agree with what the Comrade FIFA is saying. Just following the question of trade negotiations, Comrade FIFA, one got the sense that Parliament was obviously touched for quite some time from the WTO negotiations. And more specifically on this very difficult issue of trade negotiations regarding the agricultural products and the protectionist approach by the EU and the United States. advocacy. And it seemed to me, just following from the issue from the distance, it seemed to me that we have almost completely abandoned our agricultural sector in the country, and I think that it was time this committee to wake up to the issue and deal with it.
Honourable
Mabalsa. Comment Chair, following on the ways expressed by preceding speaker, I think that at all times we must be challenged to be more ambitious than the minister and the department. Because we can afford to be more idealistic. In the sense that we must regard ourselves as more representing the constituencies, and by being a little bit more ambitious, that empowers the hands of the minister and the department. It does not disempower them, on the contrary, it strengthens their hands when they enter into negotiations.
Thank you very much. I wonder if we shouldn't just move further down that page then.
If you allow me, I just want to emphasize the last sentence in that paragraph, which precisely says that we must not respond reactively. We must respond proactively within the development, developing countries. So in other words, this committee must be involved. And not just sitting and waiting for some outcome and then reactively respond to that. We must be proactively involved and exactly what has been said, that we must think ahead and not wait for things to happen. Chair, I think the word maximize is not the correct word there. We are now developing multilateral trade relations and putting a lot of emphasis on South-South. So if you say we must maximize, firstly, it's not good English. You don't maximize. But leaving that aside, why not say improve trade agreements? Why put it so high? Obviously, we don't want to diminish, but maximize is too strong a word. We're so busy with the South-South, you know, let's not give a wrong balance to the way we look at this. Excessive emphasis. Jefferson, over and above my earlier proposal, and strong proposal too. The second proposal is that can this committee conduct an assessment of existing trade and agreements? Its own assessment can link with CTI, no big deal, with particular reference to the impact of the existing trade agreements to our own economic policy, as well as other areas like the pharmaceutical sector, medicines and such. And if that could be linked to a half a day workshop for all of us to be abreast about this existing agreement. They're quite voluminous, unfortunately. And thirdly, linked to this two formal proposals, the Parliamentary Research Unit does a comparative analysis of any existing policy guidelines on how other parliaments engage in trade negotiations. And obviously, they would also, with regard to the second proposal, help us with the basic data on assessing the existing trade agreements. Then, surely through your office, then, Chair, we can see how they progress. And then if the committee agrees, we would look at, the exact date under your guidance. Nevertheless,
Thank you. I think where we are now is to say that we've got a couple of recommendations in this regard. I think that probably no member of the committee would disagree with the word improve, and yes, the idea of the not to be the active, etc. But let's get this concept of the recommendation spelled out here, and that largely is the role of Parliament and so on. It is also the second one dealing with the need for us to review, from what I understand, to get an understanding of what other trade agreements are here before us and how effective they are in line with South Africa's own policies. Having said that, I want to just come to the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph just before point 3. And when I read this here, I also noted that at some point in time, the minister referred to NAMA. I'm sure the researcher here is about to tell me what that was. I was always under the impression that that was Namibia, Angola, and South Africa, and then I couldn't get South Africa into the NAMA. So then I realized it wasn't NAMA. So let's have somebody who knows something about this area speaking up. What is NAMA?
NAMA is the, correctly, non-agricultural, multilateral agreement. Non-agricultural multilateral agreement. It's the area at the WTO which deals with industry, etc., etc. And South Africa heads that. It's a group of, I think, 11 countries headed by South Africa who have been promoting a certain position.
On the
non-agricultural.
Well, then let me also just check with our researcher as well.
Thanks, sir. Non-agricultural market access.
That's why we have a researcher. Non-agricultural market access. Now, if that is the case, what is the acronym for this, the three countries that did not sign the EPA? That a few others all agreed to sign. Now that was Namibia. Oh, there isn't an acronym as such. No, I've got the point. Alright, so there is no acronym, but we do know that they refrained from signing, is that right? You know, signing that latest agreement that had a negative impact on, or could have a negative impact on SACU. AMSA. Now, what does AMSA stand for? That's why I asked for Angola.
There we are. Here
it was an acronym. AMSA. AMSA. A-N-S-A. Angola, Namibia, South Africa. Well, not that we want to just get be derailed on the acronyms. Let's move on. But the one point here, if you look at your third one there, the point somewhere needs to be made, I think, if the committee agrees, that, you know, there is a real need to ensure regional integration and not fragmentation, which is why, at this stage, one would agree with the decision of South Africa made by the minister not to sign. What was that agreement called? Some UPA that they have. So I think that point needs to be cleared because of the need to retain regional integration and stability. So then we move on, then we've done the next, let's move to page 4 and see if there are any hands at this point.
It's rather important that the committee, you know, some of the old hands, make a distinction between the two documents we have here. The one is industrial policy and the other one is the action plan. These two. I received them in my office this morning. I don't know if members got them. All right. Now, we had long discussions last year about these two documents. And the committee felt that the policy document was excellent. It set out a very broad, comprehensive vision for industrial policy as a framework for going forward. But then we got the second document, which is the action plan. And we were not happy with that. Now, when Minister Davies said something to the media, which apparently was slightly misunderstood, he was talking about the action plan and not the policy, the framework. And I think in our discussions we must be very clear that as far as some of us who were here, the framework was a brilliant piece of work. But when it came to talking about the action plan, it was nuts and bolts, bits and pieces, very fragmented, and not actually rooted in the policy framework, which was admitted here in this very room by the minister and the DG last year. So, you know, when Davies said we are going to revise, it was the action plan, etc. Now, what is confusing us a little is this business of the strategic plan. These two documents have actually superseded the strategic plan. Every department is obliged to produce a strategic plan for the cabinet. But in terms of policy, these two documents are much deeper than the strategic plan, and the strategic plan is rather closely linked to the budget. So it is relevant to the budget policy, the budget debate that's coming. But in terms of the overview and the going forward position, these are the two key documents for this part. And I think if we can bear that in mind, it'll be easier. Thanks.
Members, how many of us accessed our pigeonholes this morning and got those docs? So you do have them? No, but I mean, you do have them. You've all got them. Well, that's useful to know, and others will pay a visit later. I think that was useful and informative for us to bear in mind when we do open them up and have a look at the difference. So thank you there. The Southern Africa, we're on page 4 there. That was, of course, linking up with industrial development. The proposed revision of the industrial policy action in response, the department confirmed that it will be intensified. You know, I'm not sure what that comment means, frankly. You know, when you ask, when you're going to revise something, then it's going to be intensified. Is that the substance that's going to be intensified? If you look at both, you know, you may wish to look at it yourself, because you could be commenting now on something you haven't read, other than one or two people in the committee itself. And he then just explained that point. Broad-based black economic empowerment comes up, and we know this has got to be a spaghetti bolognese of policy. And quite clearly, I think the view of the committee and the minister and the department was that this has got to be, we've got to review this. So somewhere here, if you go through it, it says the information was required on the preferential policy and that there was a need to interrogate procurement and tender and how they were aligned, etc. The department did indicate it would be willing to share the alignment of the BBBE policies with the committee. And when I say willing to share, maybe we ought to just remind them in this document that we do wish to see it. I'm sure that is the case, isn't it? The revised. So I'll take the Honourable Maria and yourself, Honourable Tua.
Madam Chair, I want to say that yes, we can take note of that. I think there must be a clear message from us that it's not only the revision that we want to look on information, but there must be a specific action plan of aligning these. So it must not be just words on paper, but and there must be deadlines for this, because, I mean, there's too much confusion in normal life, and especially with local government, that these are not aligned, and it's totally confusion to everybody involved with BEE and preferential procurement.
I wonder if there was a... thank you, Honourable Skipper.
Chair, I wonder whether we shouldn't put in a sentence to say the committee is of a view that we should take an initiative with respect to the review of the whole BE process. I think that I, in fact, would like to make that proposal. So we actually, to follow up your point, that we actually don't just comment, but say, because of the, not confusion, because of the difficulties, the committee is of the view that the committee itself should take some action with a view to reviewing the BE process.
We're just going to take some of the views out, reviewing view, etc., and I'm sure the content specialist will clean it up, because the substance has to be noted that the committee's opinion is X, Y, Z. Do we have any objections to that, the rest of us? Because that's actually going to be in the recommendation there. Everyone okay with that point? Yeah. Yes, Honourable Van der Vest says, and then did I see someone else's... Oh, right.
Madam Chairperson, can I just ask the first sentence? I'm not au fait with the report language used here, but the word a failure, and I think the question mark at the end there, perhaps indicates that whoever wrote this hoped that we would give some guidance there. I must say, if I could propose something like not achieving its objectives or something to that effect, but the word failure to me just sounds a bit negative, strong.
So, well, we all want to be strong, that's for sure, but I do agree. In fact, I did make a few points myself here, and it was very much along the lines of the Honourable Turek. I was using the word opinion again. This triple B, triple E, whatever, is not effectively being implemented as intended in its current form. It lacks the essential component, someone has said, of being broad-based, according to my notes. Hence, the committee welcomed the decision of the committee to review the system and streamline its current complex form so that it can achieve its targeted mission. And perhaps then we could also say at that point, the point that Honourable Turek has said, notwithstanding this, the committee would like to X, Y, Z. We want to take the initiative.
Initiate.
Yeah. So I think we link the two together. And quite frankly, totally rejig that paragraph, retaining the substance. On my left here, I don't know if it's because I'm not looking on my left, I actually just don't see with my left eye, so you just have to make sure I move my head. So if I don't move it that way, I won't see your hand. Did you have a hand up just now? Because you shouldn't regard this as a silent session. Right. Honourable
Indikalana. Chair, I'm quite delighted that this committee, this term, is going to be quite assertive. That's very encouraging and inspiring for an old timer like me. Particular effects are to think that we're going to, on our own initiative, review the impact of the PCE on one side and professional procurement policies on the other side. It's quite a complex area. And I assume once again research will do the spade work on that. Just a small thing for those things that have been covered. To me, the intensification of EPAP was rather on its implementation. And why can't that sentence read as follows? In response, the department confirmed that the implementation of the PAP would be intensified. That it makes a better sense. Thank you.
There was just one moment. I'm actually using three documents here. Right, I'm with you, thank you. Could you just repeat that? Sorry, Honourable Indikalana.
No, I just proposing the inclusion of implementation of the PAP. But obviously, taking into account what Professor Rock said,
the refinement or stroke of the world. So once the implementation is there, but we'll be intensifying implementation of a refined EPUB. Thank you.
Across to the media. I don't, one never knows if the media is here or not until you see yourself the closest.
Jane, I think the word intensified is not appropriate. Because what David was saying is it's going to be, I'm not sure if I've got the right word, but certainly adjusted. It's not the same document which is going to be intensified. On the contrary. No, it's actually the right word is review.
Because from what I understand, Professor Turok, sorry, Honourable Turok, is that I'm sure the process is just as good as well. Someone was telling us on our briefings as chair, I used to call people and counting by their first names, but it doesn't seem to be appropriate now that I'm a policeman.
But I like not to say,
I can borrow the great hydro clock. Yeah, I think that's right. It's up now. But quite seriously, I think the point where you made was earlier was that the policy, I haven't seen in the document, but that the policy document itself is great. No one is having a major problem with that. In fact, it does seem to be capturing exactly where the government wishes to take us in terms of its electoral mandate. However, the action plan would appear to have missed, you know, seems to be travelling a parallel alongside this policy document and doesn't seem to have captured the essence of the requirements for implementation that this policy document calls for. And on that basis, we welcome the decision of the minister to radically review the action plan, full stop. We welcome it. Right. Can we then move to page 5? I just hasten to add, please don't think this is an exhausting things here. You're going to be taking this document back to your caucuses or whatever, and you're going to be able to still make one or two changes. But here we have to get the bulk of the work done today. The trade policy. Okay. Oh, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, Simon, on page 4, my understanding is that when the minister was commenting on the second last paragraph, that the department responded that BEE was meant to be led by state. This was the department's response. But my understanding was that the minister was actually involving the private sector as well. And I see here, it talks only about the state. I need to be corrected there. I think...
What about coming up with a proposal? Because most of us...
You know, if we talk about broad-based and we want to have to be effective on this, why do we only... And I think we need to be including private sector as well, finding ways. I mean, just say it's going to be led by state, because it is not going to bring the kind of fruit we need for it to have, because if you only concentrate on the state in terms of the broad-based, then it's not going to have the kind of outcomes we expect as South Africans.
I didn't hear what you're saying, Honourable Coxey. My own reading of it was somewhat different, but we all get enriched, of course, in the process of deliberation. My own reading was that the government had written or passed an act called the Preferential Procurement Policy, or words to that effect, precisely to try and ensure that government tenders, shall we say, could be awarded on the basis of BEE, and weren't always being awarded to the big boys, as it were. Now, that was my own understanding here. On the other hand, Yes, I do agree with you. I do recall the minister making a reference to partnership with the private sector. How he said this, I'm not sure. So let's just get some engagement. I think it's a good point you are making. Yes, Honourable Tura. Yes, Honourable Marie.
Yeah, I think the point is well made. The intention is that procurement and licensing should be a stimulus to BEE, not less. I think the word is wrong. And the intention is that by using procurement more actively, that would stimulate BEE. It's not meant to be a state-led exercise. Yeah.
Right.
Honourable
Maria?
Thank you, Chair. My opinion is, you know, it must refer to the statement that must set the example, and obviously involve the private sector or you know, engage with the private sector to follow suit.
In fact, that is the second point, and I think that's probably where you were coming from, Honourable Cotsey. Am I right? I don't want to mislead everyone. Is that right? Yes. So there it is, we've got two different points being made. One corrected that here and one added. Remember, we will see the final document to just see whether it reflects our thinking and contribution. Right, and obviously if anyone comes across anything else, please come and see me so we can see how it can be added as an italic so that the committee can engage. Trade policy is on page 5.
Madam Chair, just on that 3.3, the South African Customs Unions, and that 3.4 followed on that. Somewhere we must also, part of the report, I believe, must be that they must report back to this committee on the progress in that regard. Because this can have serious effects for the region, and that there must be, you know, progress reports. I don't know if we must hit a 6 month or 3 month period. To see what has happened from that, what has transpired.
You will see that is captured in the recommendations itself, right at the end. Is that right? So we can always review this, but I'm saying it is there. Page 5, trade policy. We have already seen a lot on trade. It could be that some of the points made could be captured here as well. So, is there anyone who wants to actually make a specific statement here that must be included at this particular point, or can we take account of some of the many statements that have been made regarding trade? Looking around? No. Well, look here on page 5, just Honourable Turok, you'll see in the second paragraph, that the department has indicated to the committee that a refined trade policy. Whenever I think of the word refined, it reminds me of the early 20th century, but nevertheless, let's keep that in mind. I like the Harvard system myself. The second paragraph on page 5.
That obviously links to what we have said earlier.
Now, the regulation, can we move to that? And coordination?
The question of regulation, I haven't actually read this paragraph yet, but I think the point should be made that there's a major international move, especially in the United States and Europe, because of the financial crisis, that regulation must be absolutely stepped up in all areas, and I think we should echo that. I was just looking at something yesterday, a new document by Paul Krugman, and what Obama is doing is introducing a whole range of regulatory measures which go far beyond what existed before, simply because the financial sector went out of control and it impacted on the real economy. So I think that, I haven't read this, but a sentence along those lines would be very helpful. So something like, in line with international procedures at this time, a far stronger emphasis on the regulation of the economy. Maybe that's too strong. Something happy that I've never said.
Right. Look, I certainly, some of the things one sees people getting up to these days, you are inclined to think perhaps we need to be more robust with our regulations.
The paragraph. I think we're mixing up two things here. The competition question is a separate matter from the regulatory thing. That heading is wrong. It's actually absence of competition. That should be the heading. And so the work of the competition, the commission and the tribunal is to enhance competition in the economy, and that includes regulatory practices and oversight. Okay? Then when it goes on to monitor the regulatory components of the DTI, that's actually a separate paragraph, the last sentence. And this is where you've got, I think this needs a bit of thought. I can't fix it at the moment, but...
I think part of the issue is complexity is here. Is that DTI itself placed the competition authorities under what it terms its regulatory cluster, for obvious reasons, perhaps in their light of thinking. But I do hear what you are saying as well, that there's almost a sub-division here in that area. And perhaps no harm in just spelling out a little on the header so that no one who reads this has any misperceptions as to what we say.
Headed competition, not regulation. Because it's about the Competition Commission, or the absence of competition. That should be the heading, not regulation. Because that's what it deals with.
I just want to raise two other things, though, here. You know, we had a point made much earlier. Thank you, here, Honourable Turok, I'm not sure, by the Honourable Marie, around lotteries. Lotteries. And one or two things were coming out as well. And I said we need to find a suitable place for this, do you remember? Now, you see, and I'm simply, of course, like I said, being new in the committee and leading it, new chair, etc. It's easy for us to go off target. But if you look at the DTI divisions here, it places the lottery board there, the gambling, the credit regulator, the competition commission, and intellectual property, etc. Now, of course, we didn't have any of these two. We didn't engage with any of these, as we know. But yet we say we do wish to do this. And one way of getting around it would be, you know, within what the DTI has clustered in the regulatory cluster. Certainly the committee would like to engage the lotteries board on X and Y, and then the competition commission will come last. Before we make that statement that you agree we should retain, Honourable Chua, and that there is a need to constantly monitor the regulatory, you know, aspect or component. And then a new paragraph where we specifically refer to the competition commission, particularly in the light of the strange gymnastics that are going on in the economy today with these business leaders. So I think that does deserve, because it targets poor people. Wake up, people have been doing price fixing and all sorts of issues. It's indirectly linked to this whole competition. You know, people ought to get competitive, not deciding on a golf course how they can make extra money. Okay. Now, coordination. Yes.
Can I just recommend that 3.5, that regulation be replaced by consumer and corporate regulation? Isn't that then more clarity as to what is meant under that heading? Because I see that the program of the department
that covers
those. That covers those, yes.
All right, I think let's put it to the committee. There's been a proposal made as to how we could just get over this. Are you listening there, Honourable Tura? What is your view?
Competition Commission is so important that we should not bury it in other stuff. I would rather have even a short paragraph dealing with competition, because they're really doing tremendous work and getting a lot of money. The fines are huge. So 100 million rand, you know. So let's have a paragraph on the Competition Commission, and then we talk about other regulatory functions. Because otherwise we mix up things and it's not clear.
Other regulatory and consumer functions, right. Yes, Honourable Nkikalana.
Yeah, I'm rather uneasy about that. I think according to the program of the CI, there is a group of regulatory agencies, and they fall under, you know, the regulatory ambit. If you want to highlight and give prominence to the competition authority, that's fine. But logically, that has to be under the regulatory, you know, section or sector.
Like I say, I think that let's see how we can cover it there, because we're certainly not referring to everything. I know we haven't touched on everything as specialist services and so on. But the main thing is for us not to distort the report in any way, but at the same time to be able to flag critical issues. You know, I suppose in some ways I share middle route here, in that I think that the committee's report can go directly under the department's headings, as it were, and follow that route in one sense. And in another sense, we may devise our own sort of divisions in terms of the report. And I think both are valid. But let's just see how effectively the comments we're going to make can be captured without distorting things. And I think, so at the moment we'll go along with it as it stands, with slight modifications of the introduction of the heading, and within the same 3.5 we will put a slightly separate paragraph, but under that, of the comments to the Competition Commission. Let's see how we can move on that, and if we come back with a totally different point of view when we finalise the report, we'll take that into account. Can we, at this point, coordination, you know, in so many ways, that's a recommendation to ourselves, isn't it? Listen, we stress the need for continuous updates on the coordinating role of ECI in the economic cluster. You know what worries me here? I'm not sure, is DTR going to be the coordinating role of the economic cluster? Huh? Yeah, because you see, you know, when I think of an economic cluster, I think of huge other committees and so on. So let's just get some input here.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I think there would be some explanation, particularly when it comes to this new department, which is the economic development. Because if you look at their strategic plan, it seems as if they are going to to coordinate all the activities of the economic club. So I'm not sure whether which is which party. When you look at their participants, they also say they are going to coordinate this economic class effect.
In the past, the DG of DGI was the convener of the economic clusters in the
okay.
Who's that? Okay. Not me. Not you. The DG of Trade and Industry was the convener of the cluster, the whole economic cluster. But now the Cabinet has decided that that function will be shared by the two departments, DGI and Economic Development, jointly. So that is the way it's set up at the moment. So I think this paragraph more or less reflects this, but maybe a small adjustment. So that's the de facto situation.
Yes. You see, I wouldn't want us to take on a role that is not being a clear mandate. That's my only concern. So let's see. The committee expressed the need for continuous updates, etc., on the coordinating. It may be useful to talk about a joint at this stage and then get a clarification. In order to determine how other departments, etc., are reinforcing and so on, the department noted that in future it will be playing this coordinate. You see, that to me, the last sentence says it clearly, in conjunction with the Department of Economic Development. See, that's clear. So perhaps we could start off that the department noted that in future it will be playing a coordinating role in conjunction with the Department of Economic Development in the economic cluster. Rather reading it from the bottom and come to the top. And then, you know, then it's clear it's a coordinating role. Thank you. Honourable Marie?
Madam Chair, in my opinion, that first sentence must stay because we still don't know what their role will be. So, I mean, the committee has expressed the need for continuous updates on their coordinating role. So we don't know that, so they must, that implies, in my opinion, that they must come back to us and say, what is the development, what will their role be in the future, you know, compared to the new economic development department that will be created. So you know, that in my opinion, is fine, that first sentence.
The only thing I don't want is a misperception to arise that is or not already in existence as we talk. But let me leave that one for the moment because I think that both your points, you know, you're making quite a valid point there, Honourable Marais. I think the other point too may need to just think about that as we move to the finalization. Perhaps leave it as it is and finalize it the next meeting. The budget. Yeah, the whole issue of incentives, huh? Any comments there? Honourable Indica Lona, I'm sorry, you wanted to comment earlier.
Yes, just a question, in fact. From this back to the chairs, do you have a sense as to when are we going to be clearly told what economic development is doing and what DTI is doing? Because fundamentally, this is where the continuation is, or the source of continuation. Because we do not know which of the competences and functions are going to be taken away from DTI into economic development. And personally and honestly, the sooner that comes, the happier am I going to be, and I'm sure I share that with everybody. Because then we'll know on what
pieces that we're going to plant and get to our hands. If you have a plan, it's fine. If you don't, but I'm sure my question is loaded because it means a little bit of a push somewhere that we need to get, you know, a pronouncement sooner than later. Thank you.
I think I wouldn't want to speculate, of course, no matter where I find myself. What I can say is that all of us have been informed that this process will be unpacked after the budget has been closed. But as the decision currently is to close this budget as it stands. However, one simply learns that there will be possibly an early adjustment to take into account some of these anomalies, which would also allow the new ministries, and particularly ministries and departments such as economic development, which you must remember will not only the allocated line functions or programs from DTI, but also from other departments and ministries. So some of these changes are far more complex than others. And as I avoid speculation, let me not begin now. Yes, Honourable Ntuli.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I think you are correct because I've learned that for the startup of that, the kickstart of that department, it will depend on the DTI budget to start operating. But their actual budget will be refined or reduced in October. At the moment, they are going to depend on the DTI. So it means then our budget, as DTI will also determine their establishment for the few months, and thereafter, then they will be able to be on their own.
I think that's just clarified it a little bit more. But if we come here now to the incentives that we're looking at, we said right at the beginning and towards the end of that last engagement that incentives were really a very big issue, and that the committee did want an opportunity to engage and have these incentives unpacked. They're not being unpacked right here at the moment. And it's very difficult there to even comment because there are so many. But obviously, if you would like to make a comment, you're welcome.
Sure. Frankly, I was very skeptical about that one sentence, that the incentives are mainly for SMEs. I don't think that's true. And there are large payments to large companies and so on. And I think we should just say, for me, we want a lot more detail about the incentive payments as a committee, and we also question whether the grant programs are primarily for SMEs in the manufacturing and tourism sectors. I think we should raise that question.
Madam Chairman, if I can add, it is not only incentive payment, but it's incentive scheme. Because, I mean, you know, the, some incentive is not necessarily in the form of a payment, but in terms of a benefit. And I'm thinking specifically here in terms of exports, and I'm thinking of our need for foreign direct investment. You know, I agree fully with you and Professor Sturrock that we need to unpack this, to really understand this and to really interrogate this. This is, in my opinion, incredibly important. That will have a huge impact on our future potential to grow the economy and the opportunity to fund the economy properly as well.
Well, we certainly will note that and move to page 6. The Industrial Development Corporation Strategic Plan, the IDC, I mean, just as you go through this, members, know that you've read two or three of these pages. Is there any comments overall you would like to make on the IDC? And then we'll just go, you know, page by page. Any specific thing that you'd like? Yes, Honourable Sula.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I keep coming in too much. The role of the IDC is critical for what we intend to do over the next 5 years. There's no doubt about that. It is the largest player in industry. And its role has been severely limited by the fact that it's supposed to be working on cost recovery principles, as the DBSA and many other institutions. They've all been told, if you don't work on cost recovery, self-financing, you're going to be closed down, frankly. This was what was told to the DBSA 10 years ago, and it changed the whole way that they work. The IDC similarly has to fund itself. It hasn't been recapitalized for donkey's years. Now that creates a certain responsibility on the IDC, namely that the only way they survive is by investing in companies which pay dividends, and so they're dependent on that. They're a normal bank instead of being a development corporation. And I think it's time, frankly, I was invited to speak to the board of the IDC a month ago. And that's exactly what I was told by them, that they would have to be self-financing, they haven't been recapitalized, and therefore they've got to invest in companies which pay dividends, and that's the way they survive. So the developmental mandate is language. What they're trying to do now is, in order to cope with the requirements imposed by the President and the Cabinet, is that they've created small enterprise departments, this and that, so they do a bit of everything. They do a bit of BEs, they do a bit of SMMEs, they do a bit of this and a bit of that, but it's not a coherent program. And if I may just say, what I said to them was this. Going back into history, the IDC played an absolutely critical role in industrializing South Africa. All the big ISCOs and telcoms and all those things were built by the IDC. And our present industrial capability stands on what was done then. But in the last 20 years, maybe even a bit more, the IDC has not actually started any major infrastructure projects because they were told that they must be self-financing. And I would urge that the committee should say something about that. I can't formulate it on the spur of the moment, but it seems to me that the question that, and I can assure you that the board agreed with me, I was quite surprised, that I said that the IDC must play a seminal role, a critical role in the industrialization of South Africa. And they agreed. But what inhibits them is this need to be self-financing, and therefore they invest in companies which pay a return instead of investing in major programs which are going to industrialize the country. So, Chair, I can't formulate it now. I'm willing to write a sentence at some other point because it's got to be done well. And it seems to me that we know what they said, but we also have to say something.
We would welcome that point in writing, but I think there were two or three other hands here. Yes, the Honourable Kotsi.
Chair, I don't see our researcher here. I think it would be important, Chair, for our researcher to do some research work for us as a committee on this and make a presentation based on what Professor Benson would say, so that all of us in the committee are on the same path on these matters and take that decision based on information and being informed and at the same level as a member.
Very welcome. Thank you for that input. We will note that for, of course, the future. We've got quite a few, but that's something the researcher can work on. You're quite right at the moment. He's just standing outside. Yes, Honourable Indikalana, and then Honourable Marais, and then Honourable Mabasa.
Yeah, I think I'm very fine about the pronouncements that I made here. Safe to say that I trust and hope with regards to the ICC's role to the global economic recession or the recession in general within South Africa. I trust and believe that we still are regarding that as an ongoing issue that we still have to apportion considerable time in handling, because the way it's structured, it was rather an issue that was dealt with around specific things, so we still have to have a lot more energy put into it. The same with the 4.5 regarding collaboration between the IDC and provincial and municipal development agencies, and I trust and hope down the line we'll look into that in more depth. And not only IDC, but if I can take the risk of extending, even with other co-tea members as well. We need to think out much our LAS and coolers are doing the same to reinforce provincial and municipal development agencies, because that's where many things are happening more than at national level. Of course, the recapitalization of IDC, if I can take a few seconds, it's something that we need to stand very, very firm on. You know, I support it 1,000%.
Thank you very much, Honourable Marie.
Thank you, Chair.
I
first want to fully agree with Professor Turok on his view. The IDC, in my opinion, should be the catalyst or the vehicle to grow our industries, establishing our industries for the future economic growth and prosperity. It is not supposed to be, in my opinion, a financing agency. There's enough banks. There's enough development banks of Africa, South Africa, and commercial banks doing that. So maybe that is where the action plan of the industrial policy will come in, to see what role should the IDC play there. And especially, the IDC, in my opinion, cannot be seen and perceived to be preferential in terms of who they want to help. It must be in the greater interest of our economy and our country. Where do we want to be in 10 or 20 years' time? And so it cannot help on an ad hoc basis, but there must be a vision and a greater plan, you know, what their role should be in developing this. We've had this, you've got an abundance of labor available, so there's huge opportunities for developing our industries, and it's certainly not happening. And so I fully agree that we should revisit their role. I know now that next page, that second paragraph refers to frame, where there's indications, or there was reports in the paper that they're going to support frame. It has been noted there that the IDC did not provide the specific criteria used. And I think the IDC must give us criteria, how they work on, what do they do, you know, who do they work for, and how do they evaluate that, and I think that is absolutely critically important for our economy going forward and for creating jobs and retaining jobs. That they must know, and we must determine what their role must be for the future.
I think you've captured quite a lot in that input, Honourable Marie. One of them is something we may just all wish to engage on just for a minute. The point you made there that they're not a bank, we've got enough banks, etc., and they're not a financing agency. They should in fact be providing a supporting role, is what I was saying. Now, I look at it's a development bank. Development Corporation, rather, isn't it? That was called itself. We may need to disengage on that, because to just put that down without engaging, because you would be changing a fundamental structure of it as such. So, members, I know you had a long morning, but that's an important point that's been put on the table. Is that something we do wish to go along with? Because I think the point you're raising here is partly in line with what Honourable Turok said, but I didn't understand him to say that it should not provide financing. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. And unfortunately, he's not here. So it's on the table for discussion. There are three points being made there. As to, yes, it's a catalyst. Agreed on both sides. But it is not a bank. We've got enough banks. And it's not there to provide financing per se. Now, I don't, you know, there might be a catalyst. I want a clarification first, Honourable Marie.
No, I don't think you understand it incorrectly. It should provide financing, but not on the basis of a bank.
Oh, right.
So in other words, this is a, in my opinion, industrial development corporation, and not an industrial finance corporation. So that's very much in line with what Professor Turok has said. So defining their role, you know, that's right, and how must they be capitalized, things like that, and what is the greater objective? Where do we want to be? Our economy, our industry, in 10, 20 years' time.
I think our project will be a major one. We have two others coming
up. These are Honourable Bob Rogers, Honourable Boomer, and the Supreme Minister. Colleague Chair, I know that we did have this fairly early in the beginning, but as we go on with the meeting, I lose the location where we saw ourselves locating it. The issue of cooperative. Because what has previously happened, it has always been seen as a small item under SMMEs, and a small item under, sometimes forgotten or not forgotten, under circles BEE. So I will propose that for a change we really make it an item, a heading or a subheading, which, and then we strive to say, under budgeting, is there a way it that can be funded? Because without a very conscious support, it will never take off, you know, just as it has never taken off in the past. And that we should also visit what used to happen with the cooperatives in the agricultural sector, I mean historically in the past government before 1994, and also the view that says internationally we also have cooperatives that become so big that they can even own buildings, you know, etc. Because we must keep in mind that for us it does serve two purposes. The one is to create jobs, wealth, you know, in whatever manner, economic development. But the other one is to address what has always gone astray. In the process of doing what I said, we then miss out on moving everybody. So that the latter becomes a critical. Thanks.
I hear that. I just want the researcher to also just come on board here, Honourable Mabasa. Perhaps while you're listening to us, Ms. McLungu, you can just identify the area in SONA where this was covered as well. All right. And I know that the Minister did refer to co-op. Can we proceed a little then to the Honourable Mabasa?
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you. I wanted to say that maybe talking about the Industrial Development Corporation as a catalyst to the industrialization of South Africa, more than just, you know, funding existing we need to bring into sharp focus also what the President said in the State of the Nation address, that we need to create 4 million jobs in the next 5 years. And if we are saying the IGC must play a bigger role than just financing existing companies, we must therefore put into our minds the money that we have been given our people and what the President has said in terms of job creation in the next 5 years.
Thank you very, very much, Honourable Kavasa. Honourable Utikalana?
The issue of cooperative support is very fundamental, maybe an additional voice to Congress members, so it's essential that even others would understand. Historically, the PTI established a distinct unit that was providing support to for establishment and nurturing and development of the cooperative. From the very onset, we were unhappy about the funding of it. Whilst we were delighted by that, the initiative must have been about 3 years ago, or even earlier, probably earlier. Because, that money, as far as I was concerned, 200 million was minuscule. Two, it was actually a donor fund from Europe. I don't know which of the key funds it came from. And we felt that if DPI is serious enough, it cannot finance such a vital component of our economic development through donor funding. And I think a couple of years, we kept on reminding DPI on that. So I trust and hope, amongst other things, when we look at the cooperative issue, the emphasis is the extent to which DPI, out of its own budget now, has started to allocating sizable funds for cooperative development. And at some stage, there were changes as well as to its operational location, because it was shifted to CEDA. It became, you know, an integral component of CEDA. And it would be helpful that some down the line, DPI, you know, brief us, update us as to whether that move did help to improve the work of the cooperative support unit as a unit. I just wanted to add that as well, because the reports were coming in, but, you know, Chair, then they became part of CEDA's report, you know, whereas earlier, someone would simply come and present an update as to this is what is happening regarding the cooperative support program. Thanks.
Thank you very much, because I was just looking at this myself. I know the Minister did refer to this in the presentation, so does the DG. I also asked the researcher just to bring some sonar to see what was there. I think they found something that's in your copy. Did you find anything, Mr. McLaughlin?
The gap to COPS, and this one is in general, but there is a separate document that can explain to it's a special under FAMAC and CEDA.
Because in the booklet of information we were given, it talks about CEDA's mandate. You know, when your core mandate is there, spelled out clearly, and it says, the support and promotion of cooperative enterprise, etc., etc. So it is there, and of course under SAMAS, and I'm not going to waste your time looking for it, it's also there. Now, it would appear as if you've got maybe even more than two agencies targeting co-ops,
not being an authority on the DPI structure, I'm going to really ask the researcher if he can't put something together for us today. I know you think there's a document that you have. You may, depending on how long it is, distribute that. You know, hopefully it's a few pages long. And I see you smiling now. But there has to be some executive document you could slip under it in our mailboxes. And if that's not the case, it must be printed in the story. Instead of nodding
head
and just tell us.
I'll make it available by this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Okay, I think that's helpful as a beginning, isn't it? An executive summary made available to everyone, specifically dealing with the co-op section. Because I think you're quite right, Honourable Mabasa, it's salt and pepper throughout here, but we may need to laser in on it. Just focus in and see what it is, because I don't think anyone in the committee would disagree that this could be a useful instrument in addressing unemployment right now, among other areas. I know that in KZN you may say, you know, quite a lot of co-ops, isn't that correct? Yes. But you may want to come and lend, did you?
Thank you, Comrade Chair. I've also picked up indirectly that there is a workshop or a seminar or you know, one of the big functions in KZN in the middle of July. I just thought we should explore what our role is at the committee and whether we are invited to be part of it. That's one. But then I also picked up that from the provinces and from the regions, the people that have to go there, they must make their own plans of how they get there. And in other words, they must fundraise to end up going to that important occasion. That immediately told me that that's how territorially it is taken, because if you intend empowering people, you will also try to get them to where you want to empower them. So I'm raising this just to find out if we have more information. And also, if the information is fairly weak and negative, to request that it be given up so that the regions and provinces are able to send more.
What I'm going to do just on issues like that, I think these are points which we need to bring to the attention of the committee secretary in the first place so that he can find out a little bit more, because certainly I'm not aware of it. But what I want to do, honourable members, is just alert us to our time constraints. As far as I'm aware, we didn't order lunch, and we had planned to finish this meeting no later than 6:30. Of course, we are half an hour. We started half an hour later due to different issues. But we don't have any choice but to complete this process so that we can get a second draft out, you see, and take to our caucuses. So what I'm going to now appeal to members on is just to come back to page 8 and look at Kula. If we can just look, I'd also like, if you look at the recommendations, just as you're going along, you would have seen there were recommendations here, and you would have seen on page 10, you know, at the end of each section, we should alert ourselves to the current recommendations put forward so that we may remove, detract, or, you know, add to them. Over here, we've got one on the IEC updates the committee on its involvement in alleviating the plight of companies in distress and its involvement in large projects within 6 months. There was clearly another recommendation, and maybe it's not simply directed to trade and industry, but broadly on co-op, so to say. So I'm just making a note there as we move to Kula. Is there anyone else who wants to come up with, you know, recommendations on what we have done so far, that's the department and IEC. Otherwise, we'll wait until we get there. Cooler. All right. As we come here through to Kula, on page 8, we had quite a long engagement with Kula, and we also heard from some of our long-term members that Kula had been a thorn in its side for 5 years, and that this was the first sign of any flower coming, fruit. Bearing any fruits, and that was this retail platform the first time, and of course that was unpacked. So if you look there at page 8, you'll see reference to that. If people can come up, the committee members, and indicate under 5 if they have any comments, 5.1.
Madam Chair, I think
yes.
Similarly as with the IDC, I think one must be very clear on the role of Kula and Kula Direct, whether they become retail outlets now to make available money and on what basis, or whether they will just make use of agencies, and what the opportunity cost of that will be. Because eventually, it is about the money, and because we know that this is capitalized by government and the money is coming from government, it is absolutely imperative that there must be a direct correlation with eventual growth and development of especially SMEs. So that, in my opinion, is incredibly important. What is their core function, and what should they do? And to what extent must they be directly involved, or to what extent must middlemen be cut out?
Yeah.
Is this the
Kula Direct
on the rest? Yeah, well, basically on both, on Kula and then Kula Direct, because I mean, you know that Kula Direct is obviously originating from Kula Enterprises, as you function that they see. So I think one must get much more clarity from them in that regard. And to what extent they will, because I mean the impression that I have at the moment is that there's a lot of service providers out there. Now the money comes from Kula to some intermediary and then to that service provider for empowering and developing and upskilling people to be effective small business people. Now, is that the correct way? You know, can we really allow that? Or is that the role that Kula Direct will play? The idea that I also got is that they want to put the money directly in the hands of the enterprise and not necessarily the agency. So there's different roles to play, and that depends on what their core objectives with that Kula Direct is. I think there's a lot more questions to be asked and to be answered in that regard.
Yes, you know, if you look, just before you come in there on the Ikelana, if you look at what we've heard about IDC, and you read again just our own report from Kula, they're all talking about support for SMEs. All of them are supporting SMEs. Now, the query could arise from someone who's not been in the committee before, and certainly the general public. Well, who do I go to? What role is this organization got in serving me? Because I believe all of them now are helping SMEs. I don't think that was the intention, that they'd all be, that, so have we, I think to me the question was, have we ourselves sufficiently explained to someone who wasn't there in the presentation and whatever, what Kula's role is, what the difference in Kula's role is for SMEs and that of IDC? Is there a difference? What is this difference? Because ours are not academic reports. They need to be for the people of South Africa to help them. It's tell them what we are doing and how far we have serviced their needs. Yes, I'll thank Edwards Nastor, Honorable Indica Lana, and I just got to remember the name again. Is it Lebanyani? Lebenya, my apologies. Followed by the Honorable Lebenya, and then followed by the Honorable Kotsi.
Kula and Kula Derek. I trust and hope we'll also refer to the recommendations at the end, that one of the things we've asked for is the full briefing of Kula Derek. Because historically, the eventuation of Kula Derek comes out of a lengthy debate and ups and downs and a couple of skirmishes. If I can just be brief, the thing is, Kula Derek is filling in a gap which Commission then are addressed to. And it would be helpful then that we throw our weight behind the full briefing, because it will help us to see what kind of a new Kula financial power enterprise is assuming identity. Because once we have Kula Direct, you know, coming to chef, getting implemented, I can certainly say that we have a new Kula financial enterprise. The only thing we may also be of it, looking with interest here is whether Kula will still maintain or retain its of the former financing model, that of being a wholesaler and a guarantor. I missed that one when they made presentation. It was not clear as to whether the field would be done. So it would be helpful just to prime them that when they make the presentation, they should also, you know, appraise us on that. Also, I don't see it. There's another smaller general request which I made that on the day that the Kula must also provide us with a data of profile of the RFI. Because it would be helpful, not just a list of names. A profile is different from a list of names, because we want to know the profile, you know, what kind of an RFI are operating in involved, or are they the same as in Western Cape, are they the same as in Northwest, you know. So that we can be able to assess whether we do have RFIs that are appropriate for the nature of the province. For some of the provinces, Gauteng is more than SM province, and the others are, as we always define them, are more rural. It should be helpful for us just to observe that Delta line. Thank you.
I do remember that, and I think it must be captured, that it's profiled. Yes, Honourable Lavinia?
Oh, yep. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I don't know how we can put this, but I think we also need to, when talking about Kula, we need to put emphasis on the fact that one of their responsibilities is to ensure empowerment and development, especially in rural areas. And I believe that if we are unable to ensure that economic growth is also boosted in rural areas, and people don't have to move away from rural areas in order to be developed. So we need to put emphasis to that, because I don't think that they have done much in that aspect of actually going into rural areas and assisting people there in their areas.
Unless the fair point was made with IDC when we spoke about spatial development and that sort of thing. And yes, we may need to just see what we can drill down into the presentation. I do recall them indicating that these RFIs were now going to be an instrument. But like you say, I think we may need to re-emphasize this and link it to SOLA. The presidential statement made it clear that these agencies should be supporting and promoting access to finance for development in the rural areas. Yes. I'm just going to take Honourable Kotsi first, Honourable, about the immediate.
Chair, I think Honourable Ndikelana raised some of the issues in fact. For me, you know, sometimes you don't want to delay the committee, you want to learn as you move. But my understanding of Kula as Kula Enterprise, I really do not know what is. I mean, I hear people saying about the revamped Kula. I don't know how revamped that is.
The only thing I know is that Kula has failed a lot of SMMEs, and we hear complaints that all that I know about Kula, you know, from a distance. And for me, if we say now we have got a revamp, how revamped is that? You know, what is the difference between Kula Enterprise and Kula Direct, and perhaps, you know, something in that form that could help me as well in terms of something small from the, I mean, the states. I don't know whether, or maybe the Kula themselves could provide that information for those of us who are new in this commission. Thank you.
Yes, I think just a quick response to the Honourable Kosi. As you say, having been there, you will recall we did say that we wanted a further engagement with them, because it seems clear that the committee was not fully aware of what impact this would make, and would it be in the same direction that the committee had been working for over many terms here in Parliament. So I think if you look at the, if I'm not mistaken, the, what do you call it, the recommendations, one of them talks about with a full briefing, we want a full briefing, exactly where are they going and what is happening, and how it's going to do that. And we, there's no harm in us slipping in just there, point about rural development as well, you know, just in this point here. So we've got two or three of these. We've added co-ops, we've added that now, something else, these three extras. And then Honourable McBrasso, you were going to come in just on a cooler point before the co-ops, because I want to save the co-ops to just before we go to recommendations as to how we're going to put them in.
Sorry, I've been covered by the previous honourable member in the emphasis that when once you mention Kula within communities, it's like a check wave. So that we keep that in mind as the quality of the community.
I
noticed
here on page 9, under geographical spread. It says here that they gave the shift to the other 6 provinces. Of course, it's going to be very useful, and it could be quite informative for us to hear what they may have done in KZN. You know, and get more detail just sent to us in a booklet form. You know, when they're talking about the provincial reach that's been developed there, the researcher may be aware of, if not yourself, Mr. Sherman, whether Kula has published the geographical spread of theirs and the work. They published this. Do we have access to that document? Because some of the people talking come from these provinces and they don't know what Kula are doing. That's why I'm asking. They come from Kaohsiung, they come from KZN.
Madam Chair, you're absolutely correct. Because, I mean, even from the Western Cape as well, you know, we need to have much more clarity in terms of where they are involved. Also, the very important thing is that they have got these plans to move to the other provinces. My concern is their funding. Yes, I know that government must fund them, but we also know that revenue for government is lower. So it's going to impact on them as well. And to what extent have they discounted that? And I have had no recollection of the meeting that they indicated anything on the viability of their plan within the current economic framework. And I think that is very, very important that that must be unpacked. And that will to a certain extent confirm the viability and the reality of their plans as well going forward.
I'm hearing what you say, and if I'm not mistaken, one of the members during the presentation, it may have been on Honourable Tulok, the Honourable Njikalala, were actually, I thought, referring to just this issue of the fact that they had not been effective in achieving their mandate. Now, you know, it's always useful to try and complete something, because if you run off somewhere else, you may find that where you think you've completed just falls apart. So we don't have the time, we didn't have the time to interrogate them as effectively as we hoped. As it was, they had about an hour and a half, and a half an hour to engage with them, or two. And it was all the time we did have. So I'm going to have to appeal to the committee to say, look, at this point in time, we're going to have to wait for them to return to us. There are just too many questions regarding the rollout plan. While I'm sure we can say as a committee, we welcome the establishment of the Tula Direct. Nevertheless, we need to learn more about how the former work that they had engaged in and established, how effectively, sustainable they were leaving them, you know, words to that effect. So we welcome this, getting around. People believe of Pumalanga, what's it, Northwest, Limpopo, Free State, but how are the other three doing? And then that would they would have to come back. We can't engage them now before the budget. But it is a question we can raise. Is that, yes, Honourable Lavinia?
Chair, I agree with you 100%. I just want to add that on that last paragraph on 5.4,
yeah.
I'm very concerned about the word that is being used there, that therefore CUDA will shift its focus. Because my understanding of shift is that you are moving, which means that these three provinces now will not get, you know, the necessary assistance that we are still hoping to get, but they will move to others. So I don't know, I want to raise a concern there, in addition to what you have said, that we need a full report of what has been achieved.
May I suggest that we use that word I was saying, that while the committee welcomes the decision to reach out to the other six provinces. Nevertheless, it did raise the issue of how sustainable the work done in the previous three provinces was. So in other words, we welcome them reaching out, but just how effective is what they have? Has it taken root? I mean, that's really the concern, isn't it? And let's ask our content specialist to capture it for the document we will be taking with us. Is that all right? I think we all agree with that. Collaboration. Find also Bumba, Land Bank, Mahisa, someone mentioned this earlier. The committee inquired about, in fact, we never got an effective response. We may have done the inquiry, but we didn't get an effective response. So I think that the committee will continue to pursue its inquiry regarding the state of Kukula, because we never got an effective response. So we can't just leave it there. The land bank, Masisa, etc. In conclusion, we want to thank various people. Right. Now let's look at the recommendations. Before we do that, I said I wanted to address the co-op. I haven't forgotten. Like I said, it seems to have been captured all over, am I right, Mr. McLumsey? And you're going to be bringing us, distributing a little executive summary on where it is. Can we, for the moment, in principle, indicate that, see, we didn't actually, the department
department refers to it. So the best part for it, place for it to be, would be somewhere with the department. The third is the minister refers to it. The co-op's also assisting in the employment. Now, offhand, I can't find any capture of this. But I know both of them referred to it in passing. So it's going to be up to us as to where we want to place that. Do we want to place it with the department, so to say, or with the ministry? And then the suggestion would be, and I think I'll look up my own notes as well, for us to also point out the linkage with SONA, that up to now it would appear as if co-ops have been located in Cedar and what's the SAMAC and whatever. However, in the committee's opinion, this can be a much more effective instrument if more focus is given to its positioning so that it can more effectively address development in rural areas and employment, you know, unemployment or increasing employment, or words to that effect. So they have located it somewhere, but my understanding is that what you said, Honourable Mabaso, is that you feel that this is a little bit like being submerged a little in the report, considering the fact that the president has even stated it is a key instrument. Yes, Honourable.
Madam Chair, I mean, my suggestion will be that be specifically be a recommendation from us, that there must be more emphasis given and more information with that regard. Similarly to what I've mentioned about National Life Profit Distribution Trust Fund. I've taken notice of the recommendations that the committee secretary gave us. In my opinion, that touches on many of the issues that we have dealt with, and my suggestion would be that they update those recommendations in terms of the deliberations and recommendations that came from the discussions this morning. But that we specifically mentioned that extra or the additional in terms of the cooperative, you know, our recommendation with that regard, and then also the National Lottery Distribution Trust Fund. And I think with regards to the National Lottery Distribution Trust Fund, you know, we must try to establish the efficiency and the capacity, because as I said earlier, in terms of a response that I got back from the minister is that there's billions of rand that they don't distribute, that don't reach the poor, the children, the women, the disabled, the sports, the arts, you know, so they must tell us what are they doing.
Well, of course, that is a statutory function. Yes, Honourable Kovasa.
Yes, Chairperson, just on that point about CODA and the other agencies, I think the point, if my memory serves me well, the point we were trying to make was about the coordination of all these many agencies so that they begin to speak to each other. Perhaps what we did not spell out quite clearly is who must coordinate, so that we don't have all of these many agencies lying everywhere and they're not speaking to each other and they are therefore not able to tell us collectively, in what sense are they contributing to sustainable jobs, to creation of sustainable jobs and different sectors?
I think your point is quite correct. We do need to broaden this somewhat to include other agencies. But let's hear what other members are saying. Yes, Honourable Ntuli, Honourable Ndikalana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Am I correct to say that what we have been discussing going forward, that there are many things which are arising, and am I correct to say that if all these discussions will be taken as recommendations. Let's say when we are making this report, to say the committee has recommended it, so that we can be able to follow them and be able to be, the department can be accountable to these things. If all these discussions, then you put them into order as recommendations at the end. Thank you.
Constructive way forward for all of us. Yes, Honourable Ngi Kulana.
Getting excited, Chairman. You're recounting a couple of things that we've been grappling with in our previous world, the third term. Intra-collaboration of the Kouti group. Can you put it as that? I think once again, in the meeting, I did raise it. It may be triggered yet to cool about the I'm making a statement now, please bear with me. We need to be extremely sensitive as a committee. Of course, however, that is subject to whichever of the Kouti members will be, you know, taken away from us into economic development. But if that be the case, there will still be a group remaining, and it is fundamental. Throughout each and every year, we kept on challenging the Kouti group. How are you collaborating amongst yourselves so that we can be able to realize, observe, and get a thorough and clear impression of your cumulative effect, you know, as your role in transformation of the economy? Unless Professor Turok or whoever was there could have been able, but I doubt if they were able to pick that up. We were unable to. Kula would come and tell us this is so many subjects done, and Summer would come, ITC would come, any of them would come, but would then at the end of the day say, but we are a group, let's see. In fact, even how you do collaborate and how do you address some overlaps amongst you. We know that to an extent there is some distinction in terms of roles. Summer from 50 rands to 10,000, Kula from 10,000 to 250,000, but they are able to extend it to 1 million, and then IDC from 1 million right up to your billions, and NEF, I'm not sure, Baba Mashang, what's the minimum, but because they are focusing on black economic empowerment, you know, I don't know if it was 200,000, somewhere there, and then came in CEDA. CEDA is a non-financial, institution. It then started building a number of formal partnerships with all the financial institutions, you know. But we were also interested to see that now that you're removing some of those non-financial support competencies from your IGC, NEF, Kula, what would be the effect of that? Because helping applicants with the formulation of business plans, for example, or even upgrading their marketing drive, financial management, we were assuming that now, as an example, will be removed from Kula and placed into CEDA because of this collaboration. So, sorry for the briefing, but at the end of the day, it would be helpful that amongst presentations in future, we coin it nicely and say, let's have a balance sheet, you know, a nice thing in commercial terms, but a balance sheet, what has been your impact, you know, in terms of the emerging collaboration, intra-collaboration at Kouti, particularly in the past 3 years only, say. And so in terms of the cooperative support, I hope you did take into account my little briefing about the history, because when we make it right, it must not be basis of that history. And my humble emotional plea, we must see GTI having put in sizable and meaningful investment or injection as DCI. If there's still any additional funding from EU or whoever, that must be a parcella, you know. DCI must be seen directly investing, you know, on the cooperative support program. Thanks.
I think that point is very clearly made. I'm going to just take the last couple of inputs now. Honourable Mabaso, is there anyone else, because I just want to close off. Honourable Ngikalana, I'm looking on my left now. Honourable Kouti. Kotsi? No. My right again? Right. So we have the honorable. No, I just want to kind of make sure that you all covered, you see? Because I'm going to close off after this. Honorable Mabaso, honorable Tikalana.
Thanks, Kovice. My point could have been covered in the previous meetings because this is the first meeting I'm attending. But in one of the portfolio committees that I attended, I learned with dismay that there is very little funding that is put aside for oversight work by portfolio committees. So, but that was in particular for the one of children, women, etc. So I don't know what our position is, I mean, with respect to ours, whether funding is staying okay. Because if funding is not proper, it means that we are going through very badly as a portfolio committee in terms of oversight work. Because some of these things, we may get good reports. But getting good reports and physically seeing the outcomes are different things. And I would think that we must strive for that. And then the second part is to say, if the co-op train runs a bit too slow, we may find that by the time we come up with certain decisive recommendations, other trains have left it behind. Even if it's not quite chronologically correct, I wonder if we shouldn't take a chance and say every department, when it comes to, I'm missing a way of buying and purchasing, there's that procurement, that a certain quota of procurement should be put aside for cooperative. Although that is challenged, because if they put it aside and they find that cooperatives have not been established, it's yet another frustration. But I would think we should see if we can't go that route. And then the last point, colleague chair, is even for us to see if we can workshop it more, because it is going to be one of the key delivery vehicles. It means it must be at our fingertips as a concept, as a delivery concept, and also at the provinces and the municipalities, so that it's understood very much.
Thank you.
Well, Chair, the first point of what I wanted to include in that sixth recommendation is what Comrade Mabaso said, a fully-fledged focus on cooperative support program through a workshop so that we can take into account what we see as a comprehensive drive on cooperative support. But secondly, just a couple of things which I raised maybe rather a bit fast and inept as appeared by the issues in the previous meeting, is that the National Small Business Advisory Council owes us an update. And, I'm sure within our program, the National Small Business Advisory Council, ever since it was established, obviously, all we need to do is just negotiate a date where then we can come, then we can take it in, or see how we integrate them. The incentive scheme, as one has said, we got a presentation late 2007, and at that stage they were probably 80-90% in overhauling that. Now, one can just assume that that overhauling process is in there. Now we want to see the new version. That would be quite helpful. And the rider to that, I still humbly propose that after that presentation of GTI incentives, GTI-driven incentive scheme, we definitely have to negotiate with other portfolio committees so that they can bring in their incentive scheme driven by other departments, so that we can have a broader picture that in terms of economic transformation, what is the broad regime of incentive scheme that we have in South Africa. The last one is the regional industrial development strategy. Also, that was a concept that was presented about 2 years ago. Very, very helpful, and it triggered a lot of excitement on that. That I remember it was in this very room, and that was it. Surely now after 3 years, DTI can come back and indicate in terms of our inputs, because we made a lot of inputs to the committee, how many things have they added. Now, one just last thing, you say that the committee is making recommendations now. I was just interested. We are making the recommendations to whom? To Parliament, maybe?
Yes.
Well, I don't, or to Parliament, to the NA?
Well, I mean,
we've
tried making it to the
NA. Oh, thank you.
But, I mean...
Not to DTI.
No, we are making them to Parliament, to DTI,
okay.
But as the one of the structured institutions in Parliament. We're going to get the Parliamentary Annual Report to doctors, but in fact it's directed at DTI and government, the executive.
Okay.
The whole. So in the end, we may be saying this, but once the report is adopted, the House, the whole House, Parliament is telling the executive this is what is required. Otherwise, they won't adopt the report.
Thank you.
Yeah. We get the final note because we. Right. Now, I'm not too sure, Honourable Ndikelana, because you pointed somewhere. I also thought she wanted to say something, but then she declined.
Oh,
she declined. I think we have really applied our minds, and we have tried to effectively deliberate as a team, committee. And the content specialist chair is being typing very effectively away, and I just want to check with her and the committee secretary. Obviously, I'll make one or two comments to ensure we're on track. It's Tuesday today. Are we suggesting that by tomorrow morning or this afternoon, members can have a copy of what they've said? Now, how soon tomorrow morning, because I believe that the bus will get here, the earliest bus, at 8, quarter past 8. Yes. Is that going to be all right for members to have this distributed during the meeting? Meeting at what time? At 9:30. Is that in order? I'm looking at everyone in the meeting. Okay. And then from there, we won't spend that much time. We may allocate a little bit of time, but essentially it is for you to study, peruse, and take to your caucus. I think that's the big issue. And meanwhile, we will request the support staff to clean up any grammatical errors and things like that. But should you want to say something from your caucus, it is very effective sometimes to put it in writing, not because of any reason other than it's faster for the content specialist to type it in and for us to deliberate. But, you know, in any case, tomorrow we are having to deal with gambling, if I'm not mistaken. And the reason for that, there's a constitution, well, there is a deadline for the 30th of June. We don't have a choice. We've got no other time to do it. And then we are having our final meeting after the House on Thursday, and that should be 4:15. I'm not sure myself just of the venue. It has been set. E249. So that is where we will meet on Thursday. Tomorrow, G26. G26 is to hand you a copy of this report, but to deliberate on the regulations, the gambling before us. If anyone doesn't have a copy, I'm hoping that they will liaise directly with the committee coordinator, because some of you are new here in the committee. No, but I'm just saying I want everyone to have a copy of the gambling regulation. And having said that, there were questions about do we have enough money to do this. We've given ourselves a huge task. Every day we've added to it. And I hope we're not going to sink the ship. But nevertheless, we've all got oars. So can I just suggest this? We are having a meeting as chairs. Right now, I've missed a very important meeting that I was only informed of at 6 o'clock last night, and I have already called this meeting, and that is the parliamentary budget. So I would very much like to go into the tail end to make sure that committees are no longer the Cinderella line item in this budget, that they are restored to their constitutional rights, and that they can only achieve their work with an effective budget. And obviously that won't include shopping trips to New York. But, you know, sound oversight in the fields of KZN and Limpopo and occasional visits to Geneva and Uganda or something. But, yes, there will be study trips. And there will be seminars. I know someone, I don't know who, raised about seminars going on. All of that. But right now, we've barely got enough money for tea. Thank you very much to the staff who worked incredibly hard. It's not easy. I'm not easy to work with, so I want to thank them for the time. I want to thank Ms. Herling, who hasn't stopped. I hope you don't go into the sanatoria. And also Mr. Herman. They're working with the chair who doesn't have electronic equipment all the time, and I think that makes their life very difficult. Thank you, finally, to the members, for deliberating effectively. Thank you. And also for Johnny, Mr. Van der Vest station. Right, I see they call the lower support staff. What is this? Johnny. No. Mr. Van der Vest station. Thank you.
In my day, we used to call any mechanic a Johnny. Why did you do those days?
Johnny to look here. If you come, copy the thing you need.